listeners, this is The Right Kind of Book Talk, and I'm your host, Stacey Wright. This is episode 5, top series that I like. These are some of my favorite genres because I'm a mood reader, and here are 7 book series that you could read in 2025. I'm just going to remind you all that I have a bookish giveaway coming at the 500 subscriber mark on YouTube, and I'll be doing the same thing on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else my podcast is aired, so you can win just for subscribing. So go to youtube.com at The Right Kind of Book Talk for your chance to win bookish goodies. Okay, let's dig in. How was your reading week? I had a solid week. So I finished Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Lord, and All Fair in Love and Treachery by Celeste Connolly. Great series. The Lost Bookshop by Evie Woods. Never Lie by Freida McFadden. She's always good for me. Grim Curiosities by Sharon Lynn Fisher. Baphomet Revealed by Heather Lynn, PhD. That book was, it changed my mind on a lot of things. Nonfiction, good read. Dead Girls Don't Dream by Nino Capri. So I really enjoyed my week of reading. Some of them were from my personal TBR and some were from my influencer programs. So let's check out what books are out today as it is publication day. Yay! Let's start with A Cowboy Christmas by Laurie Wilde. A Dark Place by Travis Hunter. This one's on my list. A Debt of Darkness by CJ Holmes. Daughters of Bronze by A.D. Ryan. I've actually never tried the author yet, but apparently they're very good. Deadly Crash by Maddie Day. Her Soul to Take by Harley LaRue. Love Delayed by Anna Black. Sinister by Lisa Jackson. I love that author. This one, I already have a copy of this one. The Witch is Back by Angela M. Saunders. So like I said, there's some excellent books coming out today. So I decided to give you my top series in 7 genres I read. I have read and listened to all of these series. So let's start in the sci-fi science fiction genre. I don't read much in this genre, but thanks to the Illuminate Files, I actually upped the amount of sci-fi books I do read, and I feel like it's really underrated as a series. So what is sci-fi as a genre? Science fiction is a genre of speculative fiction that contains imagined elements that don't exist in the real world. Science fiction spans a wide range of themes, often explore things like time travel, space travel, a set in the future, and deal with the consequences of technological and scientific advances. So this series has 3 main books and a prequel novella. So Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff are the co-authors. So we're going to start with The Illuminae, the first book in this series. And this covers Cady Grant and Ezra Mason as they see their planet invaded by Baytech Industries. Gemina, the second book in the series, in which Hannah Donnelly, Nick Malakoff, Ella Malakoff, and Isaac Grant are aboard the Heimdall jump station, and it falls under attack from Baytech in the company's effort to hide its crimes that it committed in the first book. Obsidio. This is the third book in the series, which follows all of the characters in the previous main series books, as well as Asha Grant and Reese Lindstrom, and in which the Karenzin and the Heimdall refugees return to Karenza in an attempt to drive the Baytech soldiers out and spread the word of the company's crimes to the rest of the universe. Woo! This series is action-packed and one heck of a wild ride. So with the books, you get this experience. You aren't just getting a regular book with a regular story. You're getting this book that submerges you right into its pages. It draws you right in. As you can see from the photos, the pages really bring you into the fold of what's happening outside of the regular first, second, or third person points of view. It truly stands out with the way the book is formatted. The story is told through things like emails, IMs, schematics, transcribed surveillance footage, and various other types of files. It's insane. You literally feel like you're reviewing a court case. You also get the point of view of the AI. I read the books first, and when my library got the audiobooks, I had to. I heard the audiobooks were top-notch, and having a full cast of characters with separate voices, it really was earth-shatteringly entertaining for me. Full cast dramatization audiobooks, otherwise known as audio dramas, are literally my favorite way to listen to audiobooks, but I haven't actually come across that many. So if you have a recommendation for me with full cast audio, hit me up. I am always looking for new bookish content to add to my TBR. So what did I rate this series? 5 stars. Each book was 5 stars for me. I felt the characters were well-rounded and defined, and I connected well with each of them, and I obviously had the people that I hated. The plot was excellent and well thought out. the ending was satisfactory and I had all my questions answered. I was actually really sad when it was over because I don't normally get book hangovers, but this series left me feeling a little empty and I think it filled the hole it left in my life. I think I DNF like the next 5 books that I tried to read after the series, but then had to come back to those books later on because nothing could come close to what I needed in that moment. So as far as sci-fi books go, it really created a rich and complex story without overwhelming me with tech and made up words, which I find a lot of science fiction books tend to do. So this was really refreshing. I don't read my sci-fi books. I always go with audio now because I get so much more out of them this way. But a review on Bookstore actually convinced me to read the hardcovers in the first place. So if you wanted to dip your toe into a genre outside of your comfort zone, I really recommend this one. I did enjoy the audios more than the physical books, but having the books to look at while I was listening to the audio, it really rocked my world. You might be wondering how long the audiobooks are. So The Illuminae is 11 hours and 40 minutes. Gemini is 12 hours and 33 minutes, and Obsidio is 13 hours. So they're pretty reasonable lengths as far as sci-fi audiobooks go. You can find them Audible, Spotify, your library, anywhere you normally get your audiobooks from. I actually did get these ones from Libby, so maybe have a look there. So what's next? Romance. I read a fair amount of romance. I usually float that way after a heavy topic book because I need something fluffy and easy. So what is a romance novel? It's a genre of fiction that primarily focuses on the relationship and romantic love between two people, typically with an emotionally satisfying and optimistic ending. So my favorite romance series is Virgin River by Robin Carr. It really was a toss-up between this one and her other series, Sullivan's Crossing, which they both turned into pretty decent TV shows. So for those of you who have never heard of Virgin River, I'm going to give you the lowdown. It's a contemporary romance series set in the fictional town of Virgin River. We start out by meeting Mel Monroe, who has left the big city life as a nurse practitioner and midwife after a devastating loss, to join a small town practice. Little does she know, she wasn't hired by the doctor, and he doesn't want her. And the house she was promised is a wreck, and the only thing worth staying for is a local bar owner, Jack Sheridan. But as she makes her move to get out of town, a baby is left on the steps of the doctor's office, and Mel can't quite seem to bring herself to go just yet. So the whole series is out. There are 22, yes, 22 books in this series. Now, while no new books have been released in the last few years, and the series seems to be finished for now, there's always a chance that there will be a next installment because each book is, for the most part, its own story. While we see other characters from other books, each book focuses on a new couple, which means you can pretty much read any book and it will work just as a standalone. But reading the series together, you get to know all the characters in a more personal way, and it's easy to connect with them. It's a book series that's full of love, compassion, and a real sense of community, and I love that. So how people come together during the bad times and make people good from it, how they support each other and make connections, it's my kind of series. So I didn't prefer the audios over the books this time because I actually enjoyed both equally. Now, I'm not going to name all 22 books because we don't have hours to get through this, but the first book is Virgin River, and that centers on Mel and Jack, how he helps to convince her to give Virgin River a shot. Book two is Shelter Mountain, and this one features Preacher. He works with Jack at the bar, and this book features how he meets Paige and her son Christopher and how they ended up in Virgin River. So book three is Whispering Rock. This one introduces to Bree. She is Jack's little sister and she's a lawyer. And we get to witness her struggles and the reason she actually is in Virgin River, as well as Mike, who served with Jack in the military and is now an LAPD cop. But after he's injured, he takes a small-time Virgin River cop role and he's looking for his soulmate, which is really cute. So what can you expect to get from this series? So the series features a wide variety of characters, including strong, independent women, ex-military men, and single mothers. The books are set in the fictional town of Virgin River, which is surrounded by mountains, and it's really rural, so you'll get the rural feel. The books feature a variety of plots, including a Sacramento prosecutor who finds safety in Virgin River, an LAPD officer who becomes Virgin River's first cop, like I said, and a woman who comes to Virgin River to find the man who saved her husband's life. Teen pregnancy, death, rape, miscarriage are just some of the heavier topics this book series will cover. Each book in the series has a happy ending, and I love those. There are some realistically sad moments in there, but I won't really give you specifics, but you definitely will shed some tears. The books are typically around 400 to 550 pages, And the audiobooks were a pretty decent length too. They're a little longer than a lot of romance books. Now, while each book does include one or two sex scenes, they really aren't super spicy, and you don't have to avoid this series if that isn't your jam. And each book introduces the central characters for the next book, which is really nice. It's like you're keeping up to date with all your favorites too. It's easy listening and reading. I felt like each book was a welcome home after a long absence. I love the romances and the sweet connections. They aren't complicated stories and have so much heart, you'll feel like you belong there too. Now, I gave the whole series as a 22 books, right? 4.5 stars. There were a couple of books that weren't as interesting as the rest, but still were really highly enjoyable. It's one of the longest series I've ever read, and I invested weeks into it, and I literally read nothing else. The audiobooks were really good, and the story was well-rounded. Now, if they could bring out a special edition box set, I would pay big bucks for it. So if you're looking to commit to a romance series, I highly recommend Virgin River for you. So what's next on the menu? It's crime fiction. So what is crime fiction? As the name implies, the crime genre is a largely classified by story that is centered around solving a crime. The story needs a protagonist, usually some kind of detective, whether a professional or an amateur or even a private investigator, who is determined to solve the crime. And for this pick, I picked, drumroll, Dexter. Yep, you heard me, Dexter freaking Morgan. Him in the books is something else, something else. Okay, you've most likely seen this show. The show deviates a lot from the books, and the book series has a more paranormally edge to it. The Dark Passenger is explained better, and I have to say, as much as I did love the show, which I saw first, the books are a world apart. Okay, so I didn't read all of the books in this series. I actually stopped at book 6 because I waited so long between reading the books that I'd stopped and ended up diving into the audiobooks instead and did them all back to back. Nothing against the books, but the weight of the library was insane and I only owned the first 3. So let's pretend for a moment that you have no idea what Dexter is about. Jeff Lindsay wrote this series and it's about a blood splatter analyst named Dexter who works for Miami Metro PD and is a serial killer in his spare time. He was adopted by a cop when he was little and he helped him come up with a way to kill people who slip through the justice net because Dexter has dark urges and Harry, the dad, wanted them to be channeled in a way he could live with. You might think this is an odd choice as a crime fiction because he's the one committing the crimes while solving them, which just makes it more interesting for me. Like the idea that he's solving other crimes and committing ones, oh, brilliant. So this series follows Dexter as he targets other murderers who have evaded the justice system. So the books in this series include Darkly Dreaming Dexter. This is the book that starts the whole thing. Dearly Devoted Dexter, Dexter in the Dark, Dexter by Design, Dexter is Delicious, Double Dexter, Dexter's Final Cut, and Dexter is Dead. Now, the audiobooks are actually narrated by the author, and the tone of the author's voice is the best. The internal Dexter monologue had me laughing so hard, I became slightly addicted to the series. Like, I love how the Dark Passenger was actually explained, and the clever plot keeps the whole series fresh and exciting. Jeff Lindsay's actually written other series as well, and I highly recommend them. These books are pretty graphic and cover a lot of sensitive subject matter, but it's crime fiction. If you know the genre, you won't be surprised. Like, these, it's part of the deal. I love the writing style, and each book has some really new and interesting elements. I don't love how the series ended, but I do understand why it had to be done this way. It did tie up a lot of the loose ends, but I still felt like maybe this series could be revived. I know it won't be, but one can hope. Dexter as a character is my absolute favorite. What he does compared to what he's thinking is just pure gold. So what can you expect from this series? So Dexter leads a double life, working as a blood spatter analyst during the day and then killing murderers, rapists, and child molesters, you know, in his spare time. He tries so hard to blend in with people around him, and it often works out better than he expects. Can you imagine working with the people who could literally put you in jail? It's crazy. Crazy. I love Dexter's inner voice. Like, it's perfection. So the homicidal urges are directed by that inner voice that he calls the Dark Passenger. As the show doesn't really cover this, I won't go into too many details, but I like that the book explains this better. And he isn't the only one that has a dark passenger, and you get to meet these people along the way. So Dexter has these rules that he lives by. Dexter's adopted father, Harry Morgan, taught him how to kill in a positive way. And Dexter follows a set of rules called the Code of Harry. Now, he often feels stifled under the rules, but Harry has already passed away, so he can't even really argue with him. And this is how he manages to stay out of, like, the radar of law enforcement. So he understands why it has to be done this way. Now, Dexter's work as a blood splatter analyst can sometimes tempt him to kill, and his homicidal hobbies are never far from his mind. He uses his job to find new targets, but they have to meet certain criteria before he will follow through. So he has some measure of self-control. It was a 5-star series for me, and you can really feel who Dexter is better with the audiobooks. But the hardcovers are just as good. But if you haven't read the books because you've seen the show, shame. Dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow. And if you don't get the reference, we can't be friends. Can't be friends. Okay, so while we're on this darker path, let's touch on thrillers. What is the thriller genre? Thriller is a genre of fiction with numerous, often overlapping subgenres, including crime, horror, and detective fiction. Thrillers are characterized and defined by the moods they elicit, giving their audience heightened feelings of suspense, excitement, surprise, anticipation, and anxiety. Ooh, how thrilling. And what series did I pick as my fave? It was really, really hard because there are so many great ones. But I went with A Good Girl's Guide to Murder. This series is written by Holly Jackson. Do not judge the books by the TV show, because I thought the show was a big, boring mwah. So what's this series about? This pretty unpopular high school senior, Andy Bell, was murdered by her boyfriend, Sal Singh, who then killed himself. It was all anyone could talk about. And 5 years later, Pip sees how the tragedy still haunts their town. She doesn't believe the official story and uses her final class project as a catalyst to prove the innocence of Sal with his brother's help. But someone doesn't want Pip finding the truth. I actually liked the books better than the audio. The audios were good, but reading the book, I felt more invested in finding the truth. As Pip is 17, these books actually fall under young adult as well. But it really doesn't take from this series at all. Now, book 2 is called A Good Girl, Bad Blood. It is about how Pip, with the help of Ravi Singh, releases a true crime podcast about the murder they solved together the year before. And now the podcast has kind of gone viral. And Pip insists that her investigating days behind her because of the danger it put her in. Her family wasn't happy about that. But she knows she's going to have to break her promise when Jamie Reynolds has disappeared on the very same night the town hosts a memorial for the 6-year anniversary of the deaths of Andy Bell and Sal Singh. Book 3, As Good As Dead. So Pip is just about to head to college, but she's still haunted by the way her last investigation ended. She's used to the online death threats, which have been plaguing her, in the wake of her viral true crime podcast. But she can't help noticing an anonymous person who keeps asking her, who will look for you when you're the one who disappears? Soon the threats escalate and Pip realizes that somebody is following her in real life. When she starts to find connections between her stalker and a local serial killer caught, supposedly, 6 years ago, she wonders if maybe the wrong man is behind bars. The police refuse to act. So Pip has only one choice, find the suspect herself or be the next victim. As the deadly game plays out, Pip discovers that everyone in her small town is coming full circle. And if she doesn't find the answers, this time she will be the one that disappears. Now, why did I pick this series out of all of them? I loved the characters. I loved the suspense. I loved how the author used a podcast, the phone conversation, interviews to give us so much more detail. It was like we were taken along by Pip and we're witnessing in real time her journal entries as she compiles what she has learned. There are different conversations, the maps, the images in the novel, which turn kind of into Pip's personal journal of discoveries. Loved it. It was a clever way of formatting the book. And again, we are back to the books that are a more inclusive feel to them. I loved it. I like how Pip's mind worked, how she collected her evidence. The last book was darker than the rest, but I kind of feel that was intentional because Pip started out full of hope and she oozed all this goodness from her pores. But after the things she's witnessed, it takes a piece of her each time and is left behind something a little darker. She wasn't the same by the end. And it was interesting to watch the gradual slip in what she eventually becomes. It had really great depths to the characters and the plots were all original and they were well thought out. There are themes of courage, perseverance, and loyalty to family. And it's all present during Pippa's like journey, adding some real depth and realness to her character. I love how realistic the book comes across and how unpredictable it gets. I love feeling wrong-footed with my thrillers. I feel like I know what's going to happen, and boom, the story pivots, and you're like, what the heck just happened? It's the best. The best kind of thrillers. And the best part of this is it's a young adult. So it covers some adult topics and teen topics, which is awesome. It provides a really nice balance. The writing is excellent, and I highly recommend this series if you like thrillers or you want to try out the genre. And three books really isn't a huge commitment. It's a solid 4.5 series for me. I feel like it ended well and tied up loose ends. It was well-paced and twisty, and I really like that in my thriller books. There was a couple of like little things that bothered me about the plot, and that's why it wasn't a 5-star series for me, but it's still one of the best overall series I have ever read. So moving on. Up next is historical fiction. But what is historical fiction? So historical fiction, as its name suggests, is a literary genre that blends fictional characters with real historic fact or settings. The book will aim to create an authentic historical narrative, including things like social norms, traditions, and customs. Historical fiction aims to be factually accurate, but authors may fill in gaps with fictional elements to make the story a little more engaging. Historical fiction often features real historical figures, allowing readers to better understand how they might have responded to their environments. Historical fiction often uses symbolism and allegory to convey its meaning. Now, some subgenres of historical fiction include things like alternate history and historical fantasy, which may include intentionally ahistorical elements. Ooh. So what did I pick for this genre? I picked the legendary Bridgerton series. Yes, I've seen the series. It's the reason I dive into the books. I needed to get ahead of where the TV show left off because it was, you know, waiting around for seasons is not fun. So what is Bridgerton about? Okay, so it's set between 1813 and 1827. Each novel features one of the 8 children of the late Viscount Bridgerton and his widow Violet. So Anthony, who is the current Viscount, Benedict, Colin, Daphne, Eloise, Francesca, Gregory, and Hyacinth. Yes, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. The Bridgerton family are part of the British nobility and are a well-respected, immensely loving, and tight-knit clan favored amongst high society. And there's this lady who writes a scandalous society paper where she outs the ton for their outrageous behaviors. And no one knows the identity of Lady Whistledown, and it really adds to the intrigue. So each book focuses on each sibling finding the perfect marriage, just like their parents had. Their parents married and they had this big, loving relationship and life together. And Violet, after their father's death, encourages them to make the matches that set their hearts alight rather than the ones that society are expecting from them. I loved it. I don't normally like books with as much spice as these have. Not that they're like smutty or anything. They just get a little graphic. I loved how each sibling is so unique and their journeys are all very different. But the one thing to stay true is that the family will always be very important to the Bridgertons, and they each have each other's backs, you know? I love that Rosalind Landor did a really good job of narrating the books. So what books are in this series? So it starts out with The Duke and I, which is Daphne's book. And then we go to The Viscount Who Loved Me, which is Antony's book. An Offer from a Gentleman, which is Benedict's book. Romancing Mr. Bridgerton, which is Colin. To Sir Philip with Love, from Eloise. When He Was Wicked, which is Francesca's. That's Francesca's book. It's It Is Kiss by Hyacinth. That's Hyacinth's book. On the Way to the Wedding, which is Gregory. And then you have the Bridgerton prequels collection and the Wit and Wisdom of Bridgerton. Yeah. I really enjoyed the fact that these books, they automatically included the second epilogue, which she wrote after the books had released. So you can see where the Bridgertons were in the future, how their married lives had turned out. It was great. I felt like it was well-rounded. The whole series, it was really clever of Julia Quinn to add this in. And I'm kind of glad that I read the series late, so I had it right there. But who is my favorite Bridgerton? Has to be Colin. Why? Why is a rake? Okay, what's a rake? A lovable scoundrel. He's a ladies' man. But he really comes full circle for me. Penelope is a friend of his sister's, and she's been in love with Colin for years, but she isn't what others think is attractive, and she ends up hitting spinsterhood. He spends time with her, and he sees her for who she is on the inside, and that really won it for me. The Bridgerton, who was most reluctant to settle down, finds something in a place and person that he hadn't noticed before. I really like how he learns to treat Penelope and how he is with all his siblings. Who is my favorite honorary Bridgerton, meaning who married into the family? And for me, that's the Duke of Hastings, Simon. I'm not going to spoil it for you. You're going to have to go read the books. So what can you expect from the Bridgerton books? There is every single type of love theme you can think of in this series. There's hating each other to lovers, love at first sight, love between childhood friends, love after marriage, love between best friends, love between the different classes. You will find books full of fun, a little heartache, excellent dialogue, and a little intrigue with the Lady Whistledown causing a step. You'll be catapulted into high society and you will fall in love with every book, just like I did. It's 5 stars. Now, I get that this one is also a little romancey as well, but I truly think this is one of the best historical fiction series I've ever read. I love the family aspects and all the balls and the fancy clothing. I loved how sweet the romance was and how well researched the era was. It came through in the writing. And the writing is excellent and clever, and I really feel like this series ticks every single box. You really won't be disappointed. Moving into a genre I've been reading since I was a kid, mystery. The mystery genre is a type of fiction where the nature of an event, usually a crime, is kept secret until the very end. Mystery novels are often called whodunits because they turn the reader into a detective trying to figure out the crime themselves. So what can you expect from a mystery book? A close circle of suspects. Each suspect usually has a credible motive and reasonable opportunity for committing the crime. Most mystery plots use suspense, meaning the reader doesn't know the solution while they are reading the book. The central character is usually a detective who will use their deductive logic and reasoning to solve the mystery. The purpose of a mystery is to solve a puzzle and create a feeling of resolution with the audience. Other characteristics of a mystery novel include a realistic plot, a shocking crime, and a villain who isn't usually a very obvious suspect. Did you know that mystery originated in the mid-19th century and it started with Edgar Allan Poe? And if you know me in person, you know I'm a huge Poe fan. Okay, so what series did I pick for this genre? Finley Donovan. This series is mind-blowingly entertaining. It's written by Elle Cosimano, and I'm telling you, she can write. She's incredible. The book falls into contemporary mystery, and Finley Donovan is a stressed-out single mom who happens to be a writer, like a book author. Her ex is a huge D-bag, and she's broke. A misunderstanding happens while she's talking to her agent in a coffee shop, and it leads to a series of events that ends in murder. The books are full of action, crazy antics, and mysteries. They are fast-paced with some hilarious moments. The books are loaded with humor and are deliciously witty. They realistically portray the frustrations and triumphs of motherhood in a messy, hilarious, and heartfelt way. It's so authentic, I could not help but relate. The book features characters that readers can't help but root for. Finlay and Vero would be my posse in real life. Not that I commit crimes. The books build upon each other, so reading them in order will help, like they're not great standalones. Now, what books can you find in this series? Finlay Donovan is killing it. Finlay Donovan knocks him dead. Finlay Donovan jumps the gun. Finlay Donovan rolls the dice. These are the books you can currently buy. Now, Finlay Donovan digs her own grave. This one isn't released until, I think, March 2025, but I received an advanced reader copy of this one last week, and I've already finished it. It's top notch. Okay. Finlay gets herself into all these criminal activities without meaning to, and everything she does to get herself out of it, she just digs herself in worse. The audiobooks really worked for me. They were super quick with the banter between like Finlay and Vero. And Vero is the babysitter who comes, like becomes her live-in nanny. And she knows what's going on. And she adds this brilliant dynamic to the cast of characters. Now, I laughed so hard, my stomach ached. I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so much. And there is a mystery running through the whole series that has yet to be unearthed. Like, I don't want to give too much away, but there's like an assassin for hire who was using a message board about cleaning to solicit new clients. We still have no idea who this person is. And that's, for me, is one of the really good mysteries here. But whoever they are, they seem to think that Finlay was trying to outbid them for clients. Hence why finding out is a huge part of the book for me, especially when you find out why she even found out about the message boards like Finlay. Each book has a new adventure and mishaps. But whoever this killer is, it's now become like a theme in the books for me. Like, I need to know now. And Vero has her own stuff going on too. And there's a bit of a love triangle that happens in the book. And like, you can decide which one she should pick. Oh, I did. Seriously though, this one is one of my favorite series to re-listen to because it gets better every time. In fact, anyone out there that wants to do a buddy read with me, this series, send me a message on Instagram.com, The Right Kind of Book Talk, because I'm here for the chats on this. I'm here. It's 5 stars. I promise you, you will not be sorry. The covers of the books are awesome. The audios are epic. You will be entertained from start to finish. But before I move on, here's a quote from the series to help like convince you to read it. Donna Porn. I choked on my coffee. I'm telling you, Finlay, I have run all the numbers and Dino Porn is the next big thing. I turned to gape at her. How is that even possible? I wondered about that too, so I downloaded a few samples. She bent her elbows into tiny T-Rex arms. Apparently, the Dino Hero's hands are pretty small, but our heroine doesn't mind because he's more than makes up for it with his super enormous... Stop! I cover my eyes determined not to picture it. I don't want to know. Fine, but when everyone starts buying up Velociraptor Erotica, don't say I never told you. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. So last, but by no means least, this is my favorite book series of all time. I got the first book from my friend and I got sucked right in from the first chapter. This series is my fantasy prompt and it is All Souls. Yep. Deborah Harkness has rocked my universe with this brilliant book series. So what is fantasy? The fantasy genre is a type of literature that includes magical and supernatural elements that are not real. Fantasy works can take place in imaginary worlds, other times, or real-world settings with fantastical elements. The genre is categorized by its imaginative settings and characters and is often speculative in nature. Fantasy is different from sci-fi and horror because it doesn't include scientific or macabre themes. It can include romance, history, or action, though. It could contain magic. A key element of fantasy is magic, which is often performed by a magician with special knowledge and access to unforeseen forces or a witch. Imaginative settings. So fantasy works can take place in imaginary worlds with their physical laws and logic. So it's not held on to us. Imaginary creatures, fantasy often, imaginary races and creatures, fairy tales, myths and legends. They're all part of the fantasy genre. So All Souls is set in the real world. But it's not just humans. They live alongside vampires, witches, and demons, and they all live in secret from the humans. The story follows Diana Bishop, a witch with haywire powers. She cannot do the basics, so she's distanced herself from her coven and takes the academic route and becomes a historian. While she is in the Bodleian, she unwittingly finds a lost manuscript, Ashmole 782, a book that witches think is about them. Vampires think is about them, and demons think is about them. The book has been missing for so long, and not understanding what she's found, she sends it back. The book seems to go back into hiding again, but she has now attracted the attention of other witches, vampires, and demons. And Matthew Claremont, vampire, has taken a very keen interest in the book, and after a while with Diana. Oh, this book has everything. This series combines magic, science, and rich historical events. It fits the fantasy genre as a subgenre under paranormal romance. Are you seeing a theme with me yet? So what can you expect from this? The series is full of forbidden romance. There's tension, but the steaminess is mostly mild. The books are loaded with details that come from extended historical works. So you're going to see a lot of really cool historical facts here. The characters are complicated, with some being actual historical figures, real people, like Kit Marlowe, Queen Elizabeth I, just to name a couple. The book explores themes such as accepting who you are, the power of a woman, and the interplay between power and autonomy. The original book, like the original stories, come in the first three books. There are also like sequel books. It was only supposed to be a trilogy, but we, the fans, like we chanted and chanted, and Deb graciously expanded the series out. Books 4 and 5 still continue with Diana and Matthew, but book 4 centers on the side of one of the side characters, Marcus, and book 5 seems to center more on Diana. The books are really well written, and Deborah Harkness is a really fan-involved author, which I adore. So, book 1 is called A Discovery of Witches, book 2, Shadows of Night, book 3, Book of Life, book 4, Time's Convert, and book 5, the one that's just recently been released, is The Blackbird Oracle. Now, I own these in paperbacks, I own these in hardcovers, and I own the audiobooks. I know, I'm bizarre, but the paperbacks are to read and the hardcovers are to display. My favorite character in the series is Galloglass. And it's difficult because in book 2, Diana and Matthew time travel, and that's where we meet him. And he is given a task to do once they go back to the future, and that's to watch Diana when she is born and make sure she stays safe. And it's heartbreaking to watch him, already in love with her, and for her to end up with Matthew. Like, it's so hard to watch. He's a vampire like Matthew, so he doesn't age. I love the plot. Demons, witches, vampires, all becoming lesser beings with each generation. They don't know why. Vampires can't seem to turn humans into vampires easily anymore. Witches aren't as powerful, and demons are going a little mad. There is a congregation of 9 members, 3 vampires, 3 witches, and 3 demons, and they keep the other beings apart. A vampire and a witch seen together draws human attention, and they're trying to avoid that. And the Ashmore plays a huge role in what is happening, and so does Diana's parentage. I don't want to spoil it. I really do want to spoil it, but please don't judge the books on the TV show, because the show was fine, but it just wasn't right. It just wasn't right for me. Every book is 5 stars. I'm just as entertained reading it over and over again. Every time a new book comes out, I start it again. And I also I've read like the first 4 several times, Deb was really sick for a while, so she took a big break. But I love how all the elements have come together and the way Deb has pieced it all together to weave this fantastical tale. My heart is with this series. The cast of characters are vast and complex with all different kinds of personalities. So you'll find someone to connect with. The writing level is expert. And I just wanted to share my love of this series with you. So tell me which of these 7 are now on your TV. I hope you have enjoyed my episode today. I had a blast writing it. You can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Blue Sky now. Blue Sky. If you have any questions or feedback, let me know. And I hope you have the reading day you deserve. I'm your host, Stacey Wright, signing off. Until next week. Take care now.